Welcome, gentlemen. We have returned.
We're back, baby. Back from our epic road trip, driving through Iowa.
It was so exciting.
We went to a Hardee's that had a lot lizard. That was kind of exciting. That was unexpected.
Yes.
You don't see a lot lizards outside of fast food restaurants in our neck of the woods.
Right. Yeah. The Hardee's lot lizard.
It's exciting.
It was pretty exciting. It's something you don't see every day.
Oh, yeah,
only
yeah.
In Iowa, as they say. But we completed our paranormal investigation, our first and last paranormal investigation.
And it went smoothly.
Is that how the box works, so the ghosts have to touch it?
They communicate with it.
Okay.
I'm not really sure because it's a fake item.
I'm the one. I just tried to take that seriously for you, Mike. You're the one.
So, as we said, our friend Freddie Williams, DC Comics artist Freddie Williams, joined us on this adventure. Hello, Freddie. So, what do you think happened here?
Probably somebody with the last name Axe was poisoned to death.
Me and him both got spooked out so bad that all of our hair fell out.
It was quite something else. I don't know why Freddie wanted to come with. We've been talking about this for years, and I think he's a very open-minded man. He's very accepting of others' opinions. He doesn't particularly believe in paranormal stuff, but he doesn't mock those that do.
That man wanted to have a paranormal experience.
He did.
Yes. And he didn't have to drive 7.5 hours to get there.
Yeah.
We have very positive intent.
We got to give it up to the professionals in the business, the paranormal professionals, because there's a little more to ghost hunting than just kind of knowing about your haunted location and knowing what gear you have. There's a logistics part of it, and it brought me and Jay back to our filming wedding video days.
Oh, yeah. You have to be prepared for any random event that happens out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
That you're not expecting.
We were very unprepared.
Well, I, ironically, before we got there, said that I thought we were over-prepared.
We thought we were prepared.
We thought we were over-prepared. We had so much gear. We had everything laid out. But then the problem started once we were going over our gear while we were there.
Yes, well, like about 30 minutes before we were leaving, I was kind of explaining all the paranormal gear as seen here to Rich, a recap to Rich, and an initial introduction to Freddie, and we realized we did not bring our tiny digital recorders.
Those have mysteriously vanished. I'm assuming if we forgot to pack them up, that they had to be like in the front office where we were organizing everything, and they're just not there.
And then we realized that these little junky Minolta cameras that cost $99 were not up to snuff.
Well, what happened was we had all these SD cards. All of our cameras shoot on SD cards. And I thought for sure, I never would have even guessed that a camera that shoots on SD cards has no capability to format the cards. So all of our cards that we use to film HD footage would not work in them, and we could not get them to format in any way. It's like
we had one. We had one working card, right?
Yes, we had one working card out of the three cameras.
It happened to be in a still camera. It was in a still camera or my Zoom recorder.
And that was one that didn't need to be formatted. Whatever it was set to on that card just happened to work, luckily.
So we're like, all right. But the cameras themselves were of terrible quality, both video and audio. It did not really record high def that well, and the audio on them was terrible, which is fine. Also, we were underprepared for the size of the Velasca Axe Murder House. I'd seen it in shows and stuff, but I didn't really think about it.
Well, we knew it would be small.
It would be small, sure. It's an old house, but the lens capacity on those are very shallow, and we needed wide-angle lenses. Gear-wise, we were struggling.
Yes.
We were limping along, but we did our best with what we had to gather as much paranormal evidence as we could and present it to you in the most straightforward way possible without any trickery, lies, fakery, or deceit, as others probably do not do.
That may or may not be a correct statement.
Incorrectly correct. Let's begin, shall we? So, we finally made it to the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, Freddie is joining us because we've been talking about doing this video, this investigation, for years now. Our first RLM Investigates video, first and last, because this has been a horrendous nightmare, and we haven't even gone into the haunted house yet. But Freddie has joined us, and he knew we were going to Villisca, Iowa. He knew the place is called the Axe Murder House, which is fairly intuitive, basically self-explanatory on what may have happened here. But other than that, Freddie has done his best to be purposefully
ignorant, to be completely without influence or knowledge on it. So I've deliberately avoided a few opportunities to hear more about it. I have not Google searched it. I've not watched any documentaries about it. I know as little as I possibly could.
Yeah. And that is because last night Freddie told us that he is in fact psychic.
I'm not psychic.
He has abilities. So what we're going to do today, we said we would get into the history of the house, and that's what we're going to do today, because we're going to walk through the house, and I'm going to kind of explain to Freddie what happened here over 100 years ago, June 10th, 1912. And Freddie is going to use his psychic abilities to see as a blank slate to the horrors that occurred in this house, to maybe see if anything comes to mind, any names, particular incidents or the way things unfolded, just anything that comes to mind, you let us know.
Okay, I'm not psychic, but I will honestly be completely open. I have a positive intent, and whatever. If I pick up on something, I'll definitely tell you.
But we started off our video kind of introducing Freddie to the Villisca Axe Murder House, because he knows the name of it, and he knows 8 people were murdered there. That's it. So before we officially begin our ghost investigation, we're going to walk through the house.
Okay.
This is the Villisca Axe Murder House. I think the house was built in the late 1800s, and the incident occurred June 10th, 1912.
Okay.
And Freddie is, of course, very psychic, as he was telling us at dinner, when he predicted Rich Evans would have bad gas after dinner, and he was right.
Oh my God, I didn't even hear about this psychic phenomenon.
Yeah, he's like, I have a feeling.
He's very humble, though. If you ask him if he's psychic, he just keeps denying it.
Yeah. He said, I have a feeling the car ride home will be unpleasant.
Excuse me, I have some bad gas coming on.
Oh, that's what that is.
I thought it was just for atmosphere.
But I'd like you to just kind of look around, Freddie, and just kind of let me know what you... Oh, no, don't do that.
Did I actually just mess something up?
There's a reason why the mirrors are covered, and you're not supposed to look under them.
Okay, I promise I didn't know that.
Okay, I know, right. But just...
Did your psychic powers tell you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the opposite of...
You did the opposite of what you're supposed to do the second you walked in.
So, what do you feel? What are you feeling? What do you think may have happened here?
Okay, so to be totally fair, I know, obviously, there was an axe murder. I'm just saying from the name of it. And whenever I was looking up the address that we could get here, there was a headline that said 8 killed or 8 murdered or something like that. So those are the only 2 pieces of information that I know.
What's the first name that comes to your mind?
Okay. I almost went into cold reading.
Yeah.
Because, John or James are the most common names. So I would just say a J name. John, yeah. James. I'm detecting a Joseph.
But
J name.
Okay. Yes. And then say you're going to come up with some female names. Like, what would a wife's name be?
Either an M or a B, one of those names. But I'm not a cold reader guy.
It's not psychic.
Okay.
As just a blank slate, kind of like anything come to mind. And we had some mild success on that part. Although, coincidence.
Well, cold reading techniques.
Cold reading techniques. Interesting, fun.
You know, just from the color, it feels like it would probably be a children's room, like a nursery or 7 to 8 year old. I guess there's a sewing machine.
What about any like names or letters?
Oh, Sarah. I don't know. If that's a real name, I promise I don't know. That's just a common name. Is that a real name? I mean, a real name that's relevant? Oh, I'm asking. Okay, sorry. So I don't know. I guess we're just
I need you to use your power.
Oh, sorry. That was my power. No, I'm not psychic. I don't know.
Okay. I mean,
this is the most supernatural thing I've seen, and this is the thing that is explicitly not supernatural.
The night's just is getting started, but then I had to tell him what really happened in the Velasquez Axe Murder House, and we showed him room to room, starting from what people believe the killer originated in. It was the attic, hiding in there, and then moving on to the parents' bedroom at the top of the stairs, killing J.B. Moore and his wife Sarah with an axe, moving on to the children's bedroom, killing 4 of their children, then downstairs and killing 2 little girls, the Stillinger girls, who were spending the night in the downstairs bedroom. Then, of course, making a meal, leaving a bloody axe, washing his hands, and bouncing onto the train, out of town. And that's...
Possibly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on board with the serial killer theory.
There's a handful of suspects. That one, to me, seemed to be the most realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was, like, a political hit based on J.B. Moore's, like, switching his account from the profitable John Deere account to something else, and it made some kind of politician mad.
That's not the kind of thing that normally makes somebody kill someone's entire family.
And then there's the like a mentally unstable reverend.
That's not the least plausible one.
It's not the least plausible, but then when you get to this serial killer idea where it was like Colorado, Kansas, Illinois, like all along the train line, some guy like exact same MO, like, mm-hmm. Hide in the house, kill the family with an axe while they're sleeping, cover their faces, cover the mirrors, yada, yada, yada.
Why is this one the famous one, then?
Well, it was the biggest body count. I really don't know. And this one is the only one, I think, that is quote-unquote haunted because...
Is that it? Just because of a haunting reputation?
Possibly, yeah. Okay. Maybe...
Word of mouth kept the interests and it grew over time.
Yeah, maybe it's
the
like...
The other ones just faded into history.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a little innocent location, like this just tiny town. Maybe the other ones were in bigger cities and more crime occurs. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And maybe the other locations are haunted. I have not researched that. The one, like, oddity of the story... is that in the Stillinger girl's room, the main floor bedroom, he had a chunk of bacon that was wrapped in like a towel or some kind of
cloth. It was a cheesecloth. Yeah,
a cheesecloth.
Like for cooking.
Yes, and it was on the floor next to the bloody axe. And everyone, we've listened to podcasts about this and everyone has their theories. You know, maybe he placed it there to say that these people were nothing but meat. Or someone even said he fucked the bacon. In a weird sexual gratification thing, and I'm
almost like a way to prevent himself from doing it to one of the dead children.
Yes,
that's a theory.
Yes, and so everyone's talking about that, but my personal theory, which seems to make the most sense, was that he maybe met the family at the church meeting before he went to the house at night, and hello, I'm. Mysterious traveler from out of town. I'm thinking of moving here. What's your name, sir? My name's J.B. Moore. This is my wife, Sarah, and my 4 children. Where do you live, J.B. Moore? Maybe I'll stop by for, you know...
Some bacon.
I live over at, you know, whatever the address is. Oh, because, you know, it's 1912.
Come by and say... Door's always open.
Door's always open, sir. Me and my 4 children. And then, all righty. I'm going to turn in for the night. I won't be in your attic. And then he's in the attic, right? And then he does the murders upstairs, comes downstairs, starts to cook his meal, gets about halfway through, and he hears some rustling in the downstairs bedroom, and it's like, what? And he's got the cheesecloth. He just grabbed half of the bacon. He walks into the room, and it's like, yeah. What the fuck? Who are these? And puts the bacon down right away. Careful not to wake them up, gets his axe, and does his business.
Because that is one of those girls is the only one to have any sort of potentially defensive wound on.
Yes,
it.
Yes.
So that could be they were the only ones that were awake during it. Yeah.
They're that sleeping, makes some amount of sense.
They're sleeping downstairs, and someone starts cooking in the kitchen right there. They might start, what's going on? You know, and then, what the fuck? And so all the theories, all the podcasts, all the geniuses out there, no one thought of that.
They just want to talk about ghosts and get views.
Reading into stuff too much is at the heart of paranormal investigations.
We listened to a couple podcasts on the way out there, and yeah, there was the one that was like, was it meant, did he put the bacon there to symbolize that these people are nothing more? It's like, nah, he's just a guy that just tacked him up and then caught a train and got the hell out of there.
Occam's
most axe. Likely.
And then, yeah, the covering of the mirrors, they say Victorian logic at the time is you don't want your soul to get trapped in the mirror, the dead, and blah, 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 blah. So that wasn't super, it's weird by today's standards. It seems creepy, but.
It was a common superstition back then, as was everybody owning an axe.
Yeah.
So all these different places that were potentially the same serial killer, all killed with an axe from that person's home.
Yeah, axe murders were
very. They didn't have proper, like. You know, modern furnaces, you needed to cut up your firewood. You needed an axe back then.
Right.
Axe murders were very common in the late 1800s, early 20th century, because everybody had an axe. A family axe. Although one of the serial killings was done with a pipe.
Couldn't find the axe that time.
Couldn't find it. Exactly. Nothing to read into there.
Yeah.
So we are at the top of the stairs, which leads right into the parents' bedroom. You were right with your J. Josiah. And you were right with Sarah.
Okay.
And you were also right with M. Their last name is Moore. Josiah and Sarah Moore.
Okay.
We walked through. I explained Freddie the history of the house. He had some success with some names. Letters were coming to his mind that were pretty accurate. Nothing of interest to report there. But then our very first paranormal incident, Jay.
Oh, yeah, because that's supposedly ghosts can drain batteries. And one of our camera batteries that was fully charged when we got into the house, we filmed with it for half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that, and it was already half drained.
Okay, Jay, tell me what you just told me, because this could be our very first piece of evidence.
All I'm saying is we have these batteries, these Canon batteries that we use for all of our cameras. There's a little meter, and this was fully charged when we came in. How long did we shoot for? Like 35, 45 minutes?
30 minutes, yeah.
This should not be down to just two bars already.
Okay.
It's like mostly drained in just the time we've been here, and that's usually not the. It usually doesn't drain that quick, quickly,
which is unusually quick for those batteries. So, I replaced it with a new battery, and then that battery was fine the whole night.
Okay,
they got enough juice from that first battery.
Mm, could be.
So, like I said, that's not very exciting. So I'm just letting everybody know we are continuing our promise of presenting every little scrap of evidence we have.
The unbiased facts.
The unbiased facts of our investigation.
I honestly mean this, that I have pure open intent. And if there are, because I don't know what the rules would be if there's an afterlife or not. I have no idea. But if they have to hear me say, and they can feel the energy within me be positive, I have open intent to interact with and judge and observe whatever might happen that comes from the other side without, I mean, I'm coming in with total neutrality and positive intent. So if there's something that would happen, my goal would not be to write it off and make it insignificant. It would be, who knows what it is,
right.
But I would like to see it or experience it. I mean, that would be an incredible thing. I would look forward to it.
That's
honestly.
Why we're here. So that's why we're here.
That was a very long-winded way to say that you're not going to be a smartass.
Yes, I appreciate that, Freddie, and so do the spirits here. Do you remember what we did first, Rich?
Something we split up. We didn't split up into two first, did we?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we didn't investigate really the four of us. I think we stopped.
The house is too small.
Well,
yeah,
there's
not enough for everyone to do.
We attempted to get some poltergeist activity. We placed the ball on the bed.
I had an idea because you always see, you know, objects moving. Oh, the chair rocked on its own, and
I wanted to, if anything like that, we caught anything like that in camera, I wanted to rule out a draft.
Yes.
And maybe it's a drafty house. So I had the idea, just buy like some party stringers, hang them from the ceiling, and if like, you know, the rocking chair does start moving, you'll be able to see if that party streamer is moving or not.
That was a good thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And as we learned, it was definitely not a drafty house.
No.
There was no air moving in that place. It was very odd.
If you want to slam this door, go ahead. We've seen it happen in other videos, and other people have witnessed this door close. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't believe that it really did.
Prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong, yes. Because it's hot as balls in here.
We have our MEL meters, which record temperature and EMF. Temperature, a very consistent 80 degrees in there, very stuffy.
I can't imagine that guy just like hanging out in the attic for a few hours.
In June.
Oh, in June.
Yeah, those people were used to it back then.
I suppose, yeah, they weren't pansies like us.
No, but all the windows are closed, there's no electricity in the house, and certainly no wind. Dead calm.
Hmm.
And no temperature fluctuations. On a lot of the shows, it's very easy to say, oh, I feel a cold draft.
Because you're watching a video, you can't prove it.
Can't prove it.
You just say it.
And whenever they feel the cold draft, coincidentally, they never have a thing that shows a drop in temperature. Because we had those MEL meters with us a lot.
Yeah.
Like when we're sitting there investigating, I have one by me all the time, or someone does, in case there's a cold draft.
In fact, the opposite happened when we were in the attic.
Yeah.
Just because it was a small space and we were warming up the room. It went up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Knock this ball off the bed. If you are here, I'm going to bet that ball doesn't move, but that's why we're here. We're investigating this house where all of you were killed so many years ago, and trying to prove if all this is real or not. Knock that ball off the bed. So yeah, the only investigation kind of thing we did is we tried to see if the ball would roll off the bed. We kind of really, really worked that angle. Nothing happened. And then after you had your camera battery drained, we attempted to have an EVP session of sorts where we kind of tried to get something to happen or something to talk to us. So in the children's bedroom, you hung up your creepy paper, and we set the REM pod down next to the teddy bear and I think the truck.
Yeah, put a truck down.
Teddy bear we brought, the truck was there.
Yes, the haunted teddy bear. The truck was there. They had several toys in their little closet that you could use as trigger objects or whatever. See if the child will roll the ball. And you put anything on that floor. You put a cinder block on that floor, it'll roll. Because I remember I did that with the ball and we couldn't stop it from moving. Because that house is creaky and uneven. So
it's
I did the bed.
It's an old house. I don't blame them for that.
No. But I'm saying other paranormal teams probably go in there and go, we roll the ball with me. Let me put the, it rolled. And it's just like, stop it. You just want to believe that something rolled the ball. It's the fucking floor. So I put it on the bed. And the bed is a soft, you know, comforter on it, and it kind of sits in there. And I'm like, knock that ball off the bed, knock it off the bed, motherfucker, knock it off the bed. Nothing happened. If you remember, I set the one camera down in the crib, and I got an angle of the REM pod, the teddy bear, and the truck with the crepe paper hanging. And then we went into the parents' bedroom. So I could leave that camera unattended to see if the crepe paper just started going like this.
Yeah.
You and I left. We started working in the parents' bedroom. And then I think due to us moving around, you can see the crepe paper move just a tiny bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
ruling that out.
Okay.
Ruling it out. I think the very fine draft of us moving and setting up in the parents' bedroom caused that. It's very minor. I'm looking for anything.
Throw it out there. It happened. Throw it out there.
That was the one mild spook that I got in the house. I was facing the bed in the parents' bedroom, and out of my peripheral, because I moved, that streamer moved, and I thought it was the attic door, because that's what we kept talking about. The attic door is supposed to slam shut. So I just saw something move from the back of my eye, and I thought it was that for one brief second, but it was just that streamer.
So then Rich had an idea to sort of try different tactics, questions. He wanted to tell J.B. Moore current baseball statistics.
It was a long shot. I'm afraid you're going to think like that was mocking you, but baseball was popular.
I ain't dead.
Okay. Baseball was popular back in the day, and I figured if you have a spirit, that's something that might get a reaction out of the person.
Hey.
I used to love baseball. What was that?
It was a good attempt. Although taking out your phone, reading the facts of the baseball, kind of caused both of our Melmeter EMFs to spike.
Okay, we are getting we're up to 20, 25.
So we're like, oh, you know, something. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's Rich Evans' phone. Put your phone away. Back down to zero.
I'm getting strange readings. It went up to seven. It went up to seven.
Oh, my God.
I put my phone down. It's back down.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're getting...
Could I do my phone? I did bring my phone up.
Bring it closer. It's probably your phone.
It's probably my phone. I'm going to put my phone away.
Okay. Do you remember those facts?
Well, here. I'll just step further away. So, okay, as I said, the...
Wait, hold on. Okay.
I'm moving my phone further away from the EM meter readers. Meters? I guess meters is proper.
Yeah. Okay. So we're here... Oh, God.
We did switch on the Obulus. We had a bunch of words... And this was after you had put your phone away. I'd like to talk about the ovulus. That's the ovulus there. You can maybe grab that, Jay, and just hold it up to the audience.
Can I turn it on?
No, please
okay.
don't.
Okay.
That's the ovulus. It has a bunch of different things. I tried the writing function.
Do you know the backstory of this device? As far as, like, was it invented specifically for ghost investigations? And if so, by who?
Yes.
Speed. World.
Are you saying that we need to hurry up and get out of your house?
Here's my final consensus on the ovulus. It is the digital, more advanced equivalent of a magic 8-ball.
But the phrases it strings together aren't actual phrases.
Well, yeah, the magic 8-ball is a triangle-shaped dice that floats around in water and you shake it up.
It just lands on something.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly how that works, but I do know... Because when I was editing this video, I flipped that on, and I was kind of like holding it near my like computer, and it was like word. So it says it measures changes in the environment. So I think it picks up on EMF, and how it selects the word, I don't know. It may be the strength of an EMF field, because we got angry, and then you get other things like. Lake, or you know, and so I was like, maybe like the intensity of the EMF spike causes a scary word. Honestly, I don't know. I think it either could be random, and I don't know how a ghost would make a word come up in that. But there were some interesting things that happened with that, and I'll get to that.
Okay, I was gonna say, I had a dream the night we got back, I had a dream we were using this, and it kept going off. And it was saying everything accurate to what was happening while we were going around the house. So my dream was very accurate.
Well, that
it did a great job in my imagination.
I wish that happened in our video.
My uncle has trouble using a desktop PC. I can't imagine somebody who died in 1912 knowing how to properly operate an ovulus.
Well, I think the idea is that just their energy. Yeah.
This is the device I was most skeptical of. Out of everything that we were bringing.
How do you feel about people coming into your house all the time and gawking and doing investigations and all this nonsense?
Is that better or worse than the axe murders?
Difficult. Wanted.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you know, we can give you more time to talk.
Broken.
Okay, are you saying wanted as in the killer is still wanted?
So when we're in the parents' bedroom, ravine, world, speed, difficult, wanted, broken, being, and paper.
That night on June 10th, 1912. Paper.
It said paper. We did try to use the drawing function.
Mm.
Did anything come up on the drawing function?
Let me blow your mind here, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get right to it. The word paper came up twice. It came up in the parents' bedroom, the children's bedroom, but never in the attic. What did you hang from the ceiling? It never came up any other time except for those two rooms.
Then, paper.
It's mentioned drawing and paper.
Yeah, many times. What is it with paper?
Okay.
That's something.
Something.
Were they not happy about that paper being
Or it was something different.
It was something different, and they were making note of it.
Mm-hmm.
Paper. Paper. Paper.
So, yeah, I'll get back to that. So then me and Rich went into the children's bedroom. Rich wanted to play a song for the children.
I figured I would do something nice for you. I don't know much about what children liked in 1912, but I do know that children in the modern day love what I'm about to show you. I've got something for you. It's a treat. Kids love this. Now, you can focus your attention here. This is a screen. It shows moving images, and I'm gonna play you a song that the children seem to love. So here you go. This is just for you.
If you like this song, touch the red lights.
Let them enjoy the song.
Tell us about that, Rich.
I wanted to, some positive reinforcement. Maybe you'll excite the children's spirits to do something. And I figured, kids love that damn Baby Shark song. Let's try it. Let's see if that gets a reaction out of the ghost.
And what were the results?
Nothing.
But I do know that children in the modern day, love what I'm about to show you.
Well, I don't know if you caught, you might have caught like an EVP on the camera, but what happened is I played the Baby Shark song. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, children, did you enjoy that song? If you enjoyed that song, give us a sign. Mm-hmm. Move the truck, touch the EMF thing, give us a sign. Nothing happened there unless you caught something.
Well, if you recall, we turned on the spirit box.
That sounded like part of the Baby Shark song. It sounded like the da-da, and then it goes into the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And that was mostly static until there was a little, and you said it does sound like the Baby Shark song came through the spirit box, but it's questionable.
I mean, that thing does cycle through radio stations.
Yes. And then there was another chunk that came through, and I told your wife he blank.
That did it.
And it sounds like a lady speaking, and it's very...
That's through the spirit box?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like a commercial or a song. It kind of sounds like an old radio play. I don't know what it is.
That did it.
That's what happened.
Okay.
Obviously, we're going to play all this stuff for you.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's something from the radio. Or fucking maybe someone's phone call. I don't know, but it's very hard to make out, and I think that's what it's saying. I'm not sure. And the Baby Shark bit sounds a little like the song, but it's not. There's no specific part I could find that exactly matches it.
Yeah.
So it could be a child's voice saying, like, play more. I really don't know.
So this thing, when you set it down, was making quite a bit of noise.
Yeah.
Was that just because you were
No.
Near?
It was for a second, and then I walked away, and then it was going off constantly.
Okay, then Jay and I investigated the attic because a REM pod went off in the attic. Now, that is not the freak-out moment. That's the original REM pod going off in the attic.
Yes.
Rich and I just had the camera, and you're like, Mike, this thing's going off. So we're like, okay, bring Jay in. We're going to go in the attic and investigate. And that was a complete, total nothing burger.
Nah, yeah, nothing really happened there.
I did my best to provoke.
The block has my initial on it, if that matters. If you don't like me, I think you're scum. Obviously, you're a coward. You're a coward because you can't even touch that red light over there. You can't even move a little baby block. You're hiding in this house because you're scared of us.
Oh, you're really provoking them. You were being a dick to that ghost.
I was. We didn't turn on the ovulus, so
no.
I have no words about in the attic. We did do it before when the freakout happened. We'll talk about that. That was the most exciting moment of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to the most exciting moment of the night. Our REM pod that was placed in the center of the attic, it begins freaking out.
Somebody in here?
And we weren't even, like, prepared for that. We weren't shooting at the time, right?
No, I had my...
I was not even in the house.
Yeah.
I had my little blue still camera, which has a video function, which I was very easily able to switch to video and start rolling. And I come in, you can see the shadow of it on the floor as I'm filming, and I'm like, okay, come on in. And then I think...
Where was Freddy? Because by the time I got up there, he was already in the room, too.
I honestly, I don't remember.
Okay. It all happened very quickly.
Yeah.
I pulled out my phone and started filming. We were just filming on everything because that REM pod was going nuts.
Yeah. I then handed the still camera to Freddy to take over filming while I turned the night vision on the Panasonic. Freddy was filming with his phone, so there's a bunch of chunks of video where we're filming.
Someone touching that? This camera has on. You're right, Freddy. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I that's... My vision
on,
by the way. I can barely see.
Oh, it's going crazy.
And this thing's going off.
We scared the crap out of Freddy because my phone fell out of my pocket and made a bang.
Holy shit, sorry, that fucking scared the fuck out of me.
The thing's freaking out, so we flip on the ovulus, and right away the first words out of it are angry and nerve.
Oh, it's rolling already.
Angry.
Oh.
Who? Nerve? Are you saying that you're angry because we had the nerve to call you out?
Are you angry that we were insulting you?
Are you angry that we provoked you?
The nerve. And that was like, okay, now I'm scared. It said angry. And the way that the little robot man's voice said, angry. I'm like,
Are you angry that we insulted you, or are you angry that we got information wrong?
Whoa. Wait, everybody back up. Just in case. Because that should not be going off. Some more words appeared on the ovulus.
All northern.
I don't know what that means.
We are all from the north.
That's true. We're north of here.
All northern. Lamb. Can you? February. And then so it's like,
February.
What happens in February?
Thank you.
Can you get the other REM pod from the children's bedroom?
Just to see if it has a different reaction.
Sure.
So, wisely, I said, let's test this. Let's get the other REM pod. And let's find out if that one is, will go nutso too.
This is the first one that was going.
Yeah.
I might have left. Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah. That one's going nuts. Rich, put this in the children's bedroom.
That's the one that was going off.
It was going off, so maybe it's a false summer. So we're not getting nothing.
Yeah.
Of course, spaced at appropriate distance from the other REM pod. I told Rich to get the other REM pod. Rich did. We flipped it on, nothing. And the other one was still going crazy. And so we said, let's swap the battery out. And then once we did, the REM pod was done. Now.
Now when I took the crazy REM pod out, it didn't stop when I left the room, too. It continued to be crazy as I walked into an entirely different room.
Well, you holding it makes it go crazy, though.
I put it down.
Oh, okay.
And then in a different room, and it was still...
Yeah. So then we swapped the battery out, nothing.
So we have a faulty REM pod.
That seems to be the logical conclusion.
Like Ghost Adventures, you just keep that first part of it in when it's all exciting.
You cut out the fact that, oh, we brought another REM pod and it doesn't do anything.
Except for, we're not going to do that.
Right. That's the idea.
There's two ways of looking at this. The REM pod is malfunctioning. Perhaps something with the connection with the 9-volt battery was not perfect, and the 9-volt battery itself is an energy source.
Yeah.
I can only think of that as being the cause of the REM pod reacting. Something's faulty with the connection of the battery, or the battery itself.
Or the battery's close to dying, like a smoke alarm, you know?
Well, it shouldn't be. They're brand new batteries. I don't think it's that. I think it's some kind of... But when we put a different battery in, it was just dead. Mm-hmm. So I think it was that particular battery, or... There was a ghost touching it, and then once the ghost saw what we were doing, decided to fuck with us.
He was only interested in that one for some reason.
And just said, hey, you know, I'm out, and then left at that moment that we swapped the battery out.
He went to the Hardee's.
He went to
hang out with the Lot Lizard.
Look for the Lot Lizard. So it's like, you know... a ghost hunting program would say, oh, you know, does this spirit think that it's fun to mess with us?
Well, no, a ghost hunting show would cut out the changing of the battery to even see if that causes any difference.
Correct.
They would just show the thing going crazy.
Correct. You know, a program like A Ghost Adventures does do, every so often they'll say debunked. As in like, oh, we've tried to recreate this photo that we took and it turns out it was this. I think every now and then they'll do that just to make it, to reinforce that they are being sincere about their ghost hunting efforts. But you're probably right. You would edit out that particular part, or like the crepe paper kind of moving in the bedroom. I was like, when I'm editing this stuff and I'm looking at it, I'm like, you and me, we set up the stuff and we walk away and the crepe paper goes like this. And I'm like, oh, how easy it would be to split screen that.
cut you out of the footage.
Cut where on the other side. I have both cameras going so I could cut to us in the bedroom talking about baseball facts and go, while we were in the bedroom, we cut this on the other camera. The crepe paper moved.
Cue sting sound effects.
Why do that, you know? But obviously, we're not doing that.
I mean, you could show that as an editing example, right?
I could
now.
Show that, yeah.
That'd be fun.
I was very disappointed in these REM pods, and you want your ghost hunting equipment to be reliable and accurate.
Is there a percentage chance that we just don't know what we're doing with the equipment and it was used improperly?
I mean, there's not too much to a REM pod.
I know.
You put the battery in and you turn it on.
I'm trying to be unbiased, impartial. True.
There is some kind of button on the bottom, like a red button, and I don't know what that does. Jay, grab it. Look at it. Tell me if you think you know what that red button does. Is that just a test button? Are you pressing it?
No. Every time I go near it, that happens. Nope.
Press it again. Does it click? I mean, your hand is near the REM pod itself.
Yeah, no, it's my hands that's setting off. But when I push the button, that this little light does something. This tiny light.
Okay, so we might not know how to use the ghost hunting equipment properly.
That's a factor.
That's a factor.
It's a factor in our scientific. But if the button doesn't click, you must have quit. I just mean like. Here, now set it down. Just set it down on the fucking ground right in between. Okay. And now see, like, every time we tested them, you turn it on and you sit there with the red light. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
But it was going, until an EMF field or a temperature change comes near it. So I just... The big exciting incident is the door slamming on the Ghost Adventures program. We wanted to try to recreate that. During our initial walkthrough, we investigated the door hinges, the door itself. So, I mean, that is one of the things like I was looking forward to examining when I got here is taking a look at this door, kind of making sure like there's nothing fishy going on.
Yeah, it's not just a little motor inside of it.
Right, like you said, is the house leading this way to where the door would kind of close? And it is dead calm in here. There's not a single molecule of oxygen moving around.
There's no breeze. It's not drafty. It definitely doesn't feel drafty.
Oh, God, no.
It is really, really still.
But, one thing I will say, I rewatched that part from the Ghost Adventures afterwards, because I think we were saying, like, you can't see the whole door in the shot. But you do. You do see that whole door in the shot.
Really? You see the bottom? I thought it was cut off.
No, you see the whole thing. Okay. So... that's something.
Yeah.
Because we were talking like, oh, someone could just be like, below it.
Still,
just...
similar to you're talking about the paper with the split screen.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is the stuff I'm more interested in. I really don't like sitting there and like asking questions and stuff. I kind of like the unmanned camera attempt. We set up one camera in the children's bedroom aimed down at the REM pod, the teddy bear, and the truck. And then the other camera was kind of laying on its side on the bed in the parents' bedroom to capture the full door. I said, I command the slam this door. If you want to prove that you're here, slam the fucking door. We've seen it slam before. Slam the goddamn door. Insert camera Mitchell joke here. Comment below with your camera Mitchell joke. Close the fucking door. Comment below. Please comment, like, and subscribe. Comment below. Camera Mitchell, close the fucking door. That's what we wanted it to do, was close the fucking door. Then we went outside for about half an hour. Nothing. However, don't get too excited.
Oh.
Don't get too excited.
I'll take anything at this point.
In the children's bedroom, I captured dust particles. Which I have not captured any dust particles in any of the cameras.
Is in the unmanned camera pointed at the floor?
Yes, there were two. If this were Ghost Adventures, they would call them light anomalies, and they would add a little metallic-y sting as they fly by to make it extra spooky. In all the footage, I did not see any dust fly by, and we were not in the room for a very long time. Had we just walked out, maybe, because you stir up the floorboards move or whatever, but just little weird ball shape, and then another one comes by. Because more than likely, it's a piece of dust.
Oh, shut up. What?
What is it?
Ledge.
I'm on the ledge of the stairs.
Yeah.
Push me down, idiot.
Can you push Jay down the stairs?
I'd prefer if you didn't, but I would believe in you a lot more if you did.
The ovulus said the word ledge.
Correct.
And as I was right on the edge of the stairs, right. So I said, if you're there, motherfucker, push me down the stairs, yeah. You pussy.
That's
very rude.
Well, we were trying to provoke him.
I told this man baseball scores.
Well, that didn't work, so we had to take the opposite. We're good cop, bad cop, Rich.
Well, the ovulus said before time as one word.
Okay.
A phrase, before time, and then ledge.
But prove to us that you could slam the door, okay? Because it's been a long night, and we're tired. And all you said was press and wrong and magic.
Maybe he means we're wrong for being here, and it's going to take magic to make the video work.
That's a couple hours later. With that stupid ovulus, is the words can be
interpreted.
You can interpret it anyway.
That's why I think that thing sucks.
Yes.
They're trapped there beyond time, and he just wants to jump off a fucking ledge and kill himself, but he's already dead and he can't do it.
There you go.
See? That was an expression of frustration.
Yes, yeah, so you're mad libsing it up.
Yes.
Doctor.
You need a doctor?
Are we gonna need a doctor?
Why don't we set this to writing mode? This device can function like a piece of paper.
Yes, we're going to switch it to a mode where you can send us an image. Now, I paid $800 for this device.
Jesus Christ, you paid $800 for this?
Yeah.
Final two-person investigation, I requested Freddie Williams. So here we are. This is the situation. I have the Zoom recorder going. We're going to try to get an EVP. We have two REM pods. One I've placed on the entrance to the attic to see if anything passes in and out of the attic. One is to the right of me. We have a trigger object, a teddy bear. We were going to do this in teams of like Jay and Freddie, me and Rich.
As we were there, it seemed like overkill.
Our plan sort of fell apart. And then like I was the only one who really knew how to use the gear, the ghost stuff. Rich and Freddie would have been a disaster because neither of them know the gear or the camera gear. So it's just like, oh, I'll just do every investigation because I was
excited. Would it have been a disaster or would it have been comedic brilliance?
It could have been comedic brilliance, but not if enough footage was recorded. There would be nothing to show. Okay,
the ghost made the camera go completely blurry.
So here's some interesting notes. So Freddie and I did the final investigation in the children's bedroom, purported to be the most haunted spot in the house. And so here's Freddie. Freddie has a Melmeter, which he's going to turn on now. That power button, just hold that down, upper left-hand corner. Hold that down for as long as you can. Okay. Now the lower right-hand... Okay. If it stays on, just leave it on. So you know how that works, Freddie. That is... temperature and milligauss electromagnetic field. So just hang on to that. And we also this is the Zoom recorder. I'm gonna set the Zoom recorder next to the bear. The Zoom recorder will not be moving. I also have the ovulus. And Freddie was very open-minded. We were taking our time. We were leaving lots of dead space to kind of like listen. It was a more calm investigation. So I decided I just wanted the bear there, and I picked up the truck and I moved it. I'm gonna get rid of this Tonka truck. And I said, okay, because I needed some more room. I turned on the ovulus. First word that comes up is wheels.
If you have a message, please tell
us. Wheels?
Are you talking about the bus?
Freddy's talking, and it says lens, like camera lens.
He knows that those Minolta lenses are garbage.
That's figured it out. Lens, you need a wide-angle lens if you're going to shoot in here, dummy. although Freddy's glasses also have lenses. And then it says draw.
Oh.
Okay.
Freddy's an artist. And then unfortunately it says assault.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So perhaps someone didn't like Freddy. And we were like, Freddie asked, do you not like
he
people?
He really did not like that last Ninja Turtles versus Batman comic book.
Very upset about that. I don't like crossovers. Interesting word selections that popped up on the Ovilus. Coincidence? Are you pulling out connections?
Yeah.
Where there might not be any?
Difference. Mouth. Homicide. Shape.
Okay. You certainly committed homicide.
Freddy then says, it must be confusing and strange to be a ghost. Then the ovulus said, angry and odd.
It must be very confusing to be a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean that seriously. If ghosts exist, it's got to be very confusing and strange. If a ghost is in this room, do you feel angry? Is there any spirit in this room that feels angry? Is this odd to them?
Those are words.
I mean, that's an answer. That's an answer to the question asked.
That's true.
Then I picked up the ovulus, kind of stopped doing that, and right as I brought it, because I was sitting on the ground, right as I brought it, it said legs.
Leg.
What is it?
It's. I picked it up and I brought it right here, and it said legs.
Legs.
Right as I brought it up to my legs, and I switched it off.
Were you too creeped out? You had to switch it off?
No, it was just like in the process.
Wait, hold on. That's so creepy. Hold on.
That was so creepy. It made Rich fart again.
Yeah, no, I wasn't creeped out. I just brought it up, and I was like in the process of switching it off when it tries to say legs and even cut off the S. Like, but I saw the word appear.
Yeah.
So then we're yelling. We're like, talk to us. God damn it. Talk to us. We got to get back. We're all hungry. We want to eat dinner. It's getting too late for this shit.
We're not getting much with these devices, so if there's a spirit here and you want to show the whole world that you are haunting this house, this Velisca axe murder house, now's your chance. Because we got some beef sandwiches in the crock pot that we got to get to.
Sorry.
You know, when I've turned it on before, it'll say like priest or, you know, like words that are associated with hauntings.
Yes.
So, yes. Again.
It only has like 2,000 words, right?
2,000-ish.
Yeah, that's a low amount. That seems like a low amount of words to me.
Let's make a version with more words. I'm sure that better ones exist. But, yeah.
The real question is, how does the ghost know how to use it?
It reads the electromagnetic energy, and it assigns a word based on that. I have no idea. And perhaps someone out there knows. Maybe the manufacturer of these devices know.
They need to explain themselves.
I think it's a fancy magic eight ball.
Does it go like candle and the ghost is like, oh shit, I was trying to say cat.
Anything's possible.
Somebody needs to feed the damn cat.
If it said cat, that would have been more appropriate because there was the best little cat hanging around this house.
We don't know what's going on in the spirit world. We don't know if Julian's there going, trying to... You go to tell him, mate. You go to tell him. Go, just go home and eat your beef sandwiches. Tell him beef. Make it say beef.
If it had said beef,
murder.
Table.
Now they're gonna stay longer. they're gonna stay even longer. You said murder. Final act. of the night. We pack everything up. Everybody leaves. I take the trusty Panasonic night vision camera.
The only solid night vision camera.
The only solid piece of equipment on our trip, with our other solid piece of equipment, the Zoom recorder. My trusty Zoom recorder that I've had for 15 years. So I had the Zoom and the Panasonic night vision camera, and I said, you guys go outside. I'm going upstairs.
You're going in alone.
I'm going in alone. Wish me luck. Going up the stairs. Pitch dark, climb the stairs to the second floor of the Velisca Axe Murder House to walk around in silence and darkness with nothing but the camera and the EVP recorder, talking, provoking, telling whatever entity is there to slam the door, to close the fucking door. And part of me was terrified, not of ghosts, but to feel a cold wind or a hand on me, something touching me, something whispering into my ear, get out, into my ear. I was actually nervous of that happening.
Like something that would not be picked up on the equipment.
Because then I would have to come down the stairs and say, guys, this happened. And
nobody would believe you.
As we've already ruled out, the personal experience cannot be trusted. There would be no way to, even if I pleaded and said, I swear to God, I felt a hand touch me, you guys would say no. And so, despite...
I believe in your integrity, Mike, but I also believe you're an asshole.
Slam the door. Now. The great ending to our video would be the door slammed. And I run out of the house shitting myself, right? That would have been a great ending to the video. But guess what the ending was? Nothing.
Oh my God, what a shock. What a shocking twist.
The most terrifying thing at all. Our video has no content.
I understand now, though, why paranormal investigators want to keep doing this. Because I said to Jay, I was like, you know, I want to go back. Because of all the mistakes we made. I want to set up 9 cameras with wide-angle lenses, and I want to set up devices everywhere, and I want to walk around, and I want to say this, and I want to record for 5 hours overnight, and look at the footage, and it's like chasing like a little high. You know, like when you get something that's like sort of compelling, you want to keep going.
But I do know that children in the modern day, love what I'm about to show you.
Wait. I also took a lot of photos. Nothing on the photos.
Not even any orbs?
No orbs.
No.
See, that's why that makes that dust compelling.
That's true, yeah. If there's no dust anywhere else.
Even in the attic, I used flashes, and I didn't get any orbs.
Okay.
Although I'm sure I could zoom into weird parts of the frame and try to, like, find a face and say that's a face, you know, but... And then, like, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have our crummy digital recorders.
If you need crummy, staticky audio that you could potentially read words that aren't there into the static, is it really, like, compelling evidence?
Not for us.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah. But if you're doing a fake ghost investigation show, yes, you need the crummy audio. Because I remember...
If you're doing a real ghost investigation video with plausible deniability.
Yes, yes.
Where is she? Mm-hmm.
A haunted house like the Velisca Axe Murder House isn't haunted 24/7. There isn't constant activity or else it would be documented constantly. And some might say, you know, we weren't there at 3 a.m. And that's when the activity starts like ramping up past midnight, 3 a.m. We didn't stay that late.
It is reported to be one of the most haunted locations in the world. So it seems like there would be more likely to have more activity there than another haunted place.
Right. And so, you know, if something was haunted constantly, it would be very easy to go and gather evidence. So maybe we were just there in a weird window of time when there was no activity. If we went back 2 months from now at 3 a.m., maybe the ball would fly across the room. or maybe the door would slam. We don't know. And that's what I mean by chasing that kind of like, chasing that high of, I gotta capture something. I don't know.
You gotta buy more lottery tickets, Mike. You just gotta buy more lottery tickets.
I was gonna say, it's like playing a slot machine in Vegas.
Someday it's gonna hit.
Someone's gotta win.
Yeah, someone's gotta win. But our goal was,
everybody has won at the Velasquez Axe Murder House, except for us. Weird.
We're the reverse jackpot.
It's either they faked their evidence or they were lucky enough to capture something.
Or they did it right and we did it wrong.
Exactly.
That's a possibility. I'm keeping that out there to be fair.
That's
as
what
a possibility.
I'm saying. Yeah.
We did it wrong.
Yeah, we did it wrong. They did it right. They were lucky enough to capture something. We were unlucky enough to not capture anything. But we were honest in our approach of presenting all the evidence that we gathered as best as we could. With the sloppy investigation that we did.
We were a bit frazzled because we didn't have 3/4 of our gear working.
Yeah.
It was demoralizing.
It was a little demoralizing.
I mean, we still did capture a lot of footage and a lot of audio, though. There's a lot on everything that we did get. We got a lot.
We gave the ghosts plenty of opportunity to communicate if they chose to do so. And they just either weren't there at the time or chose not to communicate with us. Maybe we were being too goofy. Maybe they knew that we were just there as clowns. And they said, you know what? We don't like these guys. Just don't say anything.
I did capture one thing on camera outside the house that is unexplainable. I was trying to take a photo of the cat. There's a cat that lives on the property. His name is Church because he's a gray cat. He looks like the cat from Pet Sematary. And I took the most amazing photo ever of him sitting in front of the house. And if you look, if you zoom in and you look in the background of that photo, there's some sort of unexplained creature back there. It may be a Sasquatch, I don't know, but it's there.
Your hands, Freddy.
I can barely see.
Oh, going crazy.